Chapter 14, Part 1. Look at Tao, and you do not see it. The 14th chapter of the Tao Te Ching draws attention to a rather weak spot in the transfigurist's armor concerning his relationship with the ordinary researcher. Where is that world order of yours? People ask. Where is the immovable kingdom? Show me one glimpse of it and I shall accept it and bear witness to it. This is an age-old question. You can read it in the Confessions of Augustine, who asked it of the Manichaean brothers. Receiving no answer, he left their ranks, to which he had belonged as a preparatory pupil, and went on to become one of the pillars and founders of the Roman Catholic Church. Augustine, who is also highly regarded in Protestant circles, was a failed pupil of the transfiguristic spiritual school. Look at Tao, and you do not see it. Men call it colorless. Listen to Tao, and you do not hear it. Men call it soundless. Reach for Tao, and you do not touch it. Men call it immaterial. Entering the transfiguristic spiritual school is an uncertain venture. Do we have anything concrete to offer you as a starting point? Lao Tzu admits it openly. In terms of the reality of ordinary nature, no such starting point exists. We too say that nothing concrete can be proved on the basis of that reality. If people speak to us about empirical research and scientific proof, we fall silent. For the existence of the realm we want to enter, the kingdom of Tao, can never be proved in those terms, and it would be very helpful if you were to impress this fact clearly on your mind. By all means, consider the possibility that we might be taking you for a ride. We would not blame you if you were to leave our ranks on those grounds, just like Augustine, who left the Manichaeans and later wrote about how foolish they were to believe and affirm what they were never once able to prove and what they could only explain in a very abstract philosophical way. It would be good, very good, if you were able to understand these things. We cannot prove the essence and the reality of Tao any more than the Manichaeans could. In the eyes of many pupils, we often read amazement and the unspoken question, how do you know the things you talk about? Why don't we know them? Give us something concrete to go by. Recently, we were asked outright, give me something tangible to go on. Does your information come from some book I don't know about? What is it called? Where can I find it? We replied that our teachings are never drawn from books, although we often refer to world literature to illustrate the points we want to make. It was a vague answer. We were well aware of that. We said that one can only get to the bottom of these things by following the path. The inquirer became rather reserved. We could understand that. He was full of questions and disbelief. We doubt whether he will follow the path. It is much easier for the religious and occult groups of this nature. The reflectian sphera providers, them with a rich source of proof on which they can draw to provide evidence of anything they like. The nature aeons furnish those who try to maintain themselves in the reflection sphere with everything they need to gain credence. There Augustine was able to find plenty of what he wanted. Proof of another kingdom, like picking flowers in a meadow. There is certainly no shortage of reflection sphere brotherhoods ready to help your eye being. You can meet such masters in any shape or form you wish. All tastes are catered for. They will be only too pleased to appear before you. The majority of them are certainly not deceiving you on purpose. On the contrary, they possess much that is good in the dialectical sense. They are trying to make this nature order acceptable. So much effort they put into it, so much work. It is only that they are victims of circumstance just like the others. They too have looked at Tao but not seen it. They too have listened but not heard, touched but not felt. Just like Augustine, how could they do anything else than deny its existence, just as he did? Could you be blamed if you denied it as well? Better a bird in the hand than 10 in the bush. Countless reflection sphere figures all of them splendid, exemplary types, are offering you their other kingdom that exists and whose existence can be proved. So there's no need to believe what those Taoists or modern transfigurists say. With us, you can come and see it for yourself. We can put you in touch with a whole host of accomplished adepts. We challenge you to produce any transfigurist adept who could compare with them, just one.
But there isn't one, not even one. We can only point to historical figures like Lao Tzu and many others from earlier or much later times. We can only say that these entities apparently did not die because the microcosms with which they were connected cannot be found either in the material sphere or in the reflection sphere.
Well, say those who want to oppose or deny, isn't that proof enough that these entities never existed? Otherwise, surely all those distinguished adepts would know about them. So what you are saying must be pure fantasy. Yes, in dialectical terms, our case is weak in the extreme. Indeed, no words exist that could express the threefold enigma of Tao. That was true 100,000 years before our era and long before that. So let us not even try to define what cannot be defined. They blend together into one. Somewhere in his writings, Lao Tzu says that defining the word Tao is like striking a blow at nothingness. Tao's above is not in the light, its below is not in the dark. So Tao is shadowless, Tao is eternal, and cannot be defined by any name. It always returns to not being, to an absolute silence. It is the image of the imageless and the form of the formless. It is an absolute mystery. Approach Tao and you do not see its beginning. Follow it and you do not see its end. Are these words enough to satisfy the modern person of the 20th century? You approach and you see nothing. You listen and you hear nothing. You touch and you feel nothing. So if you want to belong to this spiritual school, you will have to make the choice on your own, and it will be your own responsibility. In brief, it is like this. We are making a pilgrimage, a carefully planned, methodical journey. We no longer want to die, and neither do we want to live. We no longer wish to be found anywhere. In other words, our destination lies neither in the reflection sphere nor in the material sphere, but in the eternal nothingness, as it is called by the dialectical world and all its aeons and entities. If you think all this over carefully, you will surely sense that behind this spiritual school there is a tremendous power in your own way. You will surely have experienced that power. Now, the most one can say about this is that it is the thread of Tao, the thread of Ariadne. How did we get hold of that thread? We will gladly tell you. Is the thread we hold the beginning? No, for there is no beginning. You do not see its beginning and you do not see its end. Just like you, we too searched throughout dialectical nature. We were able to do that because we are of this nature. With our I-being, we were able to try and test everything this world had to offer. And lo and behold, everything was trouble and sorrow. We found out that this nature is a nature of death, and we had no desire to jubilate with the blessed before the throne. Neither did we want to strive to make this accursed order acceptable in any way whatever. After years of trying and testing, we came to the conclusion that this could not be the true meaning of existence, and that it would not be good to go on having any part in deluding people in the nature of death. One can draw such conclusions, but afterwards one has to make a decision. The time must come when one has to govern one's present existence. So we had no option but to fathom the Tao of antiquity, not with the aid of authorities, but objectively. Can such a thing be done? Yes, O divine rapture, it can, although we soon found out that on all sides everything was and is being done to hinder these discoveries. Many sources had been ruined, Others were inaccessible because they had been locked away in deep cellars beyond human reach. The rest, without exception, had been terribly mutilated. We began with the few fragments of the holy language that had survived. From these, it became clear to us that there exists an original kingdom, another order of nature, a realm far beyond the highest nirvanic plane, a realm quite separate from the nature of death and its two spheres. Once we had realized this, we set out to discover whether there had been people, or groups of people, who had striven to find that other realm, what their lives had been like, and what features distinguished them from others. We tried to find out whether such people, although widely separated from each other in space and time, had followed the same pathways. We discovered that the efforts of all these people and groups followed the same basic pattern. We hoped to make contact with those who had gone before us, and in our efforts to do so, we exhausted our entire arsenal of magical capabilities. But not one faint glimmer of the brothers did we obtain in response. Now, we can laugh at all those attempts, for were we not seeking the image of the imageless, the form of the formless? If the brothers had revealed themselves, they would have been dethroned. They would have been inhabitants of the reflection sphere, but they had disappeared forever. They had not died. Countless were the invitations we received during that period, invitations from numerous brotherhoods. Come and join us, and give up your useless efforts.
Then we immersed ourselves in self-freemasonry, because he who knows the beginning of the original has the thread of Tao in his hands. What is the beginning? Not of the original, but what is the beginning that leads to the original, the beginning that all our predecessors had found? What else could it be but the practice of the fivefold universal gnosis?
Insight. Yearning for salvation, self-surrender, the new way of life. And through it, fifthly, revelation, the thread of Tao, not a communication in the personal sense, but an electromagnetic connection with the gnosis through which the soul, the holy other one, is awakened and becomes conscious. That is the thread of Tao. That is what it means to be linked with the chain of the universal brotherhood. Anyone who holds that thread in his hands will proceed from power to power and from glory to glory, and he will be following in the footsteps of those glorious divine brothers who have vanished from the earth. Such a person will then begin to invite others to take hold of the same thread, to follow the same method, to build with him according to the design of the original beginning, and together, all the companions who join in and take up the thread form a new brotherhood, a living body, and all bear the magnetic sign of the Son of Man on their foreheads. The first gift of grace received in this state of being is the experience of being able to govern one's present existence. Such people have been freed. They are strangers on earth, traveling to the true fatherland. What is hidden to the wise and understanding of this world is revealed to the children of God. He who knows the beginning of the original has the thread of Tao in his hands.